In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Let's do that. Let's talk movies. It's Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10. 557 Stillwater Avenue in Bangor, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge with us in studio. Hello, sir.
Hey, howdy. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. We were chatting about Thanksgiving in the break there. You had a good one. You hosted.
Yeah, we did. My lovely bride, Sheridan, cooked up a storm for her parents. My mom and my sister and a friend of my sister's came and joined us. It was a nice little evening, afternoon. We did the all natural turkey. We did a through our CSA.
Kill it yourself?
Oh, you know it. I just ran through the woods until I found one. I tackled it. And then
choked the life out of it.
Just frightened it to death.
Oh,
because you know, if there's one thing that makes meat taste even better, it's fear.
That's the most humane way to.
I'm just saying. No, but it was great. We had all the wonderful sides and you know, half a dozen pies, and it was just a good old time Thursday.
I have realized, because we hosted, Carrie, you hosted, right?
Yes.
The best thing about hosting is you get the bulk of the leftovers.
Yep.
The worst thing about hosting is you get the bulk of the leftovers.
You sure do.
Oh, man.
I will say, Sheridan, I don't know where she found the recipe, but she made this sort of almost like a shepherd's pie. Like it's this, it's got a pie crust on the bottom, and then it's like layered leftovers. So it's like peas and carrots and turkey and mashed potatoes for the top crust. And it's just, it really is a delight. I've eaten it like three times in the last 4 days. It's good stuff.
Slap a little pumpkin pie on the top and you got it all.
Yep. Flip a little stuffing in there.
Nice.
You know, jam a slice of pie, and but sometimes I'll just jam it all together. You know, I mean, it's all going in the same place,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes, indeed. And you were a busy guy, not one, not two, but three films this weekend.
Well, yeah, it's become sort of a Thanksgiving weekend tradition in Hollywood to release a lot of big ticket items over the course of that weekend, because you get the extended weekend because of the various vacations. Everybody has the day off. And they really bank on the fact that by 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you want to be anywhere other than in your house looking at these people anymore.
Let's go to the movies.
If you go to the movies, at least you're all staring at a screen and not at each other.
Yes.
And everyone's quiet.
Harder to fight then.
Indeed it is. But yeah, it was actually a pretty good weekend for movies overall. Like if you average it out, like it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of pretty solid ones, and I saw one that was not good at all.
So let's start with Robin Hood.
How did you guess?
I don't know.
Look, I'm Robin Hood is one of those characters that is very much a sort of ingrained in the sort of storytelling tradition. The character's been featured in scores of movies and television shows and this and that and the other thing. And the reality is, do we need another Robin Hood?
Well, that's what I would ask.
Well, yeah. And I wouldn't go so far as to say we don't need another, you know, good Robin Hood. but what we don't need is the steaming pile that we got from the Taron Egerton starring edgy hipster Robin Hood that we got with this one. It's the story. I mean, it's the bones of the story are the same as you know, Robin of Locksley, played by Taron Egerton, lives in a manor. He's a, you know, he's a rich guy. He meets the love of his life, Marian, when she tries to steal his horse, because you know that's, you know, it's the tale as old as time. You know what I mean? You know, boy meets girl, girl steals horse, etc. But then the Sheriff of Nottingham, played by Ben Mendelsohn, who honestly is way too good to be here, he drafts Robin of Locksley into the armed forces and sends him off to the Middle East to fight in the Crusades. Because those timelines all line up.
That makes
right?
sense.
Does it?
Yeah,
that's
I
the
really
thing.
Know.
It just goes downhill from there. Like he spends 4 years in Arabia fighting Arabians.
Robin Hood.
Yes.
All right.
And winds up
with a bow and arrow.
Oh yeah, no, there's a lot of bow. Okay. Lots of bow and arrow. Boy. A lot of bow and arrow. So he's fighting, and he starts to question the tactics of his squad leader. And so
does he steal from the rich while he's in Arabia?
No, we give it a second, Rich.
Okay, all right.
But anyway, yeah. So he's in Arabia, and they're gonna start killing prisoners. And this one guy who Robin had had some serious hand to hand combat with, played by Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx is in this movie, Jamie Foxx is like, "Oh my God, you're gonna kill my son!" And Robin Hood is like, "No, don't kill him." And then his superior officer is like, "Nope, chop the head off." And he's like, you know, if you weren't a toff, he calls him a toff because that's what they call noble people. Apparently, he's a toff.
A toff.
Yeah. If you weren't a toff, I'd have you hung for treason. Instead, back to England with you, or whatever. So he gets back to Nottingham, goes to his house. His house is abandoned and wrecked, and it had apparently been seized by the sheriff of Nottingham as part of partial payment for the war tax. Because he was declared dead 2 years ago, because you know that's how those things go.
Sure.
And you know, I've always found that if you're trying to collect money or resources for some sort of tax, what you do is you take someone's big house and then immediately let it just fall apart and
right.
and just you know crash into ruin because sure. that makes sense. He goes out looking for Marion. Turns out she's dating a rabble rouser who lives in the mines named Will Scarlet, played by the 50 Shades of Grey guy. Jamie Dornan.
God.
And
could it get worse?
Well, he's like he's so upset. He's like, "Oh, Marion, what am I going to do?" And then he turns around and there's Jamie Foxx. He's like, "Hey man, I have this plan to keep
what's Ray Charles doing here?
To keep you guys from to keep England from fighting Arabia anymore." Robin Hood, for reasons that are inexplicable, says, "Yeah, okay, let's do this." And so they get together. The translation of his Arabian name is conveniently enough John, so we have
aha,
Robin and John.
Yeah, okay.
John trains him to be an even better arrow shooter and jumper arounder. And their plan is to steal money from the church and the sheriff in order to keep it from paying for the war.
Ah.
It's a really well thought out plan with no holes whatsoever.
No.
And so Robin of Locksley becomes the Hood and goes around and starts robbing things and shooting arrows and generally making a nuisance of himself. As you might imagine, the sheriff, not a big fan, neither is the church. And so they send the cardinal to Nottingham to figure things out. The cardinal, played by a clearly slumming F. Murray Abraham.
Oh, Lord.
And it pretty much goes from there. None of this movie makes a lick of sense, Rich. Like, I'm sitting, and it's like, they're just, you know how sometimes you're watching a movie, and you're just stunned by what's happening, and you're like, I can't believe what I'm seeing right now?
Yes.
I had, like, half a dozen of those in this movie, where I just turned open-mouthed to Sheridan sitting next to me, and it was just like, is this real? Like, and it's just, and the action is dumb, and the dialogue is dumber, and the story, again, none of the decisions made by anybody make any sort of sense, and the performances are pretty lackluster. I will say, let's all just agree. We're gonna stop trying to make Taron Egerton as a movie star
Please.
Happen.
Yes,
we can just give that a rest. Like, it's clearly not going to work. Jamie Foxx, I don't know who the guy owes money to, but they must be bad people because he's just walking through this counting zeros. That's what he's doing. Yeah. But yeah, it's a trash movie. I suppose you might be able to derive some sort of hate watch delight out of it, but you certainly don't need to go to the movie theater for that.
No,
it really crashed and burned at the box office this weekend, and with good reason. And hopefully, it will clear out sooner rather than later and make room for movies that are actually good.
All right, but you did see two good ones this weekend. Where do we begin with the good side of the
I
ledger?
Did. Let's start with Creed 2. I was a big fan of the first Creed. I thought it was a wonderful sort of wonderful way to get back into that sort of Rocky universe. Michael B. Jordan, phenomenal. Best Stallone has been in 20 years, 30 years. One of the best performances of his career. So it was really great to see that movie. And I'm like, okay, so they're obviously going to make a sequel. I wasn't sure what they were going to do with a sequel. And then I started seeing the trailers, and I started seeing the name Drago being tossed around, and I'm like, oh, yes, I am here for this 100%. Because, again, Rocky IV, not a good movie in any sort of qualitative way, but on a personal level, I love Rocky IV. I love the fact that Rocky basically ended the Cold War by punching him.
Yes.
And that's, you know, there are a few things more American than that. but yeah, so Creed II picks up a number of years after the first installment. We see Adonis Creed, played by Michael B. Jordan, finally making his way to the top of the boxing world. He finally gets his hands on the heavyweight championship belt. Like, this is the thing that he has been striving for this whole time, and he finally achieves his goal. And yet, he feels something lacking. And it's not quite what he wanted it to be. This despite, you know, the support of his mom, played by Felicia Rashad, his girlfriend Bianca, played by Tessa Thompson, and of course Rocky Balboa himself, who's been training him. Meanwhile, in the Ukraine, Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren, and his son Victor, played by an actual boxer whose name escapes me, and I'm not going to even try to pronounce it. We'll just call him Victor. They're living in a tiny, like, you know.
Wait. So Dolph Lundgren is in this one?
Oh yeah, he sure is.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're living in this tiny, like, collective apartment in the Ukraine. And he's basically been training his son since birth to become a fighter, to exact his revenge because his loss to Rocky completely destroyed his life. Like, he lost the support of his government. He lost all his friends. Bridget Nielsen left him. Like, the whole shebang. His whole life fell apart. And so he's been single-mindedly devoted since then to basically raising his son to become the best fighter in the world. And so when Creed finally achieves the belt, that's when the shady promoter comes in and is like, oh, well, Creed Drago, we need to make that happen. Remember how his dad killed your dad? Yeah, we're going to do this fight. And that's kind of the buildup. And I'm not going to go. There's some formula stuff in here. Like, there are multiple fights. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm.
Does Clubber Lang make an
appearance?
There's
no Clubber Lang, which is. But hey, there's
the only thing missing.
There's still time for Creed 3.
It's true.
But yeah, and it's one of those things where I'm not going to go into too much more detail as far as plot, just because I'd hate to spoil anything. But it's not as good as the first one, and that's okay. Like, yeah. That's the way of the world as far as sequels
are concerned.
Well,
Rocky 2 wasn't as good as Rocky 1, but still a fine movie.
And that's the thing. And that's where we're at here. Like, I would actually say, in terms of quality, Creed 2 is probably closer to Creed than Rocky 2 is to Rocky. Like, it's a really good movie. And a lot of that comes down to performances. Like, Michael B. Jordan is such an incredibly talented actor. And he does a wonderful job capturing this character. He really inhabits it in a way that's incredibly engaging. The supporting cast is great. Rashad, Tessa Thompson. The ladies don't get a ton to do in these movies, but they're both real talents, and they do a great job. Stallone continues to nail it with the sort of the aging folksy wisdom sort of aspect of Rocky. It's a direction I don't think I ever would have believed him capable of going, but I'm really glad he has. It's really shown a lot of depth. Victor Drago, like, all he has to do is, like, you know, mumble stuff in Russian and be huge and intimidating. He does a great job of that. But I got to tell you, maybe my favorite part of this movie is Dolph Lundgren. Seriously, to take that character from that movie, that's just basically a one-note sort of, you know, scary villain, like, just this sort of one-dimensional brute. Like, that's who you're going against. In this movie, like, he's almost a tragic hero. Like, there's so, you know, you just see how broken by life he is, and how, you know, he's driven by this thing that happened so many years ago, and it's kind of sad. There's some real pathos to it, and And Lundgren, you know, to his credit, like, he's one of those guys, like, I think he's sort of pigeonholed just because of the sorts of roles he's gotten in the past. He's not without talent, and he really brings it with this one to the point where it's just like you see that family dynamic, and you're just like, oh man, yeah, that probably was pretty terrible for Ivan Drago after Rocky solved communism with his fists. But yeah, it's a solid movie. Again, not as good as the first one, but still really, really good.
I've seen Lundgren in stuff over the years that has made me realize that. Yeah, he was a better actor than he was ever used. He's an intelligent guy, and that his acting ability was there. But he got into those roles and was making a lot of money with them. And his credit, he went, I'm making a lot of money with these. I'll do it.
Thing. Like, when you look like that, like you're gonna have some problems getting the more conventionally sophisticated roles. Right. Let's say, but yeah, it's. I mean, then the boxing sequences are cool. Like, it's just a really good movie.
Before we talk about Ralph, a friend of the show, Joe, listening, wants to know, is this Robin Hood worse than the Kevin Costner train wreck from the 90s?
Here's the thing. Yes.
Oh.
And that's coming from someone who acknowledges how poorly Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves has aged. Because it was... Like that movie came out when I was in high school, and there were a lot of people who were super into that movie. And with the benefit of hindsight, you realize, oh yeah, no, that's like from Costner's terrible accent all the way on down. Like, it was just, but yeah, hey, sorry, Joe. Like, this movie's worse. It's definitely worse.
All right, a good one I know because I saw it too this weekend. Ralph Wrecks the Internet. What a hoot that was.
I saw that you had gone to see that, I was pleased because I had a really good time with this movie.
Oh, it was a blast.
You know, and it's one of those things where, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle behind the Pixars of the world. But Walt Disney Animation's on a hell of a run.
Yes,
right
they
now.
Are.
Like, they had sort of a less than successful period in the early aughts where things maybe weren't necessarily going quite the way they wanted them to. But then the last 5 years or so, starting with the first Wreck-It Ralph, they've really just been reeling off some really fantastic movies. And this is just another one in the queue. Like, it's a really solid movie and an unexpectedly poignant movie.
Yes,
you know what I mean. Like, and again, like, the first movie had its moments about, you know, the power of friendship and stuff like that, but this one delves into it to a degree that I don't think I was expecting from a movie that from the trailers just looked to be a bunch of internet jokes sort of jammed together with some sight gags. And don't get me wrong, there are internet jokes and sight gags that I find delightful.
And some great self-referential bits, like the Disney princesses.
Well, the Disney princesses scenes alone are worth the price of admission, I think. It's frankly remarkable that Disney hasn't done something like this before. Because those characters are so beloved, there's a little room there to have some fun,
yeah.
I think. For the basic gist is... Ralph and Vanellope, voiced by John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman, respectively, are living in the arcade, spending their days doing their game stuff, hanging out together at night, just basically living the dream, until circumstances lead to the Sugar Rush game, Vanellope's home, being broken, and hence being unplugged, and leaving the characters in the game homeless. At the same time, the owner of the arcade has joined the internet age, which presents me with some, I have some questions timeline-wise, but I was more than happy to just sort of, like, push those aside because it doesn't really matter. He gets Wi-Fi, and Wi-Fi gets in, and so these characters are able to access the internet. they go on eBay to purchase the part to fix the game, but wouldn't you know it, Ralph wrecks it. Things get all out of control, and before you know it, they're delving into the internet, whether it's viral videos or search engines,
pop-up
ads, spam, like you name it, they're hitting it up. All of it in this quest to fix the game. But as Vanellope finds out, there's a lot more out there than Sugar Rush.
Oh, yeah.
And she finds herself drawn to a different game named Slaughter Race, where the main character is a young lady named Shank, voiced by Gal Gadot, and she's great, as usual. I'm sure you noticed. Butcher Boy, a member of her gang, Maine's own Timothy Simons.
Yes, indeed.
Which was delightful. Yeah, and it's she has to make a decision to stay or go, and that leaves Ralph wondering, just how close, like, what does their friendship mean? And his efforts to fix things, well, I mean, his name's Wreck-It Ralph. It's not Make Things Better Ralph. So things drastically get out of hand. And before you know it, Ralph not only has to save Vanellope, but the internet as we know it.
Mm. From himself.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a delight. Like, it's so much fun, this movie. The idea of, and the best animated movies are the ones that sort of work on those multiple levels. And some, and some movies are better at it than others. This one's kind of set up to do so just because of the relative sophistication of the internet. In fact, maybe it ventures a little farther afield than maybe you'd want to in a couple of spots. But I think that's okay. If nothing else, I think sophistication of storytelling is important, particularly with these sorts of family-oriented animated movies, because you don't want to talk down to kids.
No.
They don't appreciate it, and it doesn't do anybody any good. And I think this movie does a pretty good job of maintaining that balance of treating them with respect without going too far in one direction or the other. Plenty of stuff for the kids, goofy stuff, and then there are more than a couple aimed at the older folks in the audience, which is always a lot of fun.
Yeah, and great voice acting.
The cast is phenomenal. Like they've really put together a fantastic group. Bill Hader's in it, uncredited.
Yeah.
He's great. Taraji P. Henson is wonderful as the head algorithm of not YouTube. It's YouTube, but it's not YouTube. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful group of talented performers. And it looks beautiful. Like they've done a wonderful job of really kind of developing a sort of house style with Disney animation that's very modern, but still very separate from what they do with like Pixar and stuff like that.
Right.
And it's own, it's very different from, what DreamWorks is doing and Illumination and all those things. Like it's really a very unique and wonderful sort of look. And again, they've got 80 years of of intellectual property to draw from, and there are scenes where they really just let it fly.
Oh, yeah.
and they make it very clear like just how many of your favorite things come from Disney or are under the Disney umbrella, whether it's Star Wars or superheroes or the aforementioned princesses, which again, that first scene, I didn't stop laughing,
No,
it was just,
great.
It was just an absolute wonder. And, stick around for the credits. You'll be happy.
Yes,
you did.
Absolutely. Right to the very end.
Yep.
Good stuff at the movies this week. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams of the Main Edge Movie Reviews every Monday on Pass the Popcorn.